So I want to see if we can try to finish up all the Rosh Hashanah sayings before Rosh Hashanah, but I figure before we go back to Rosh Hashanah proper, we should take this a little bit of digression into the sayings relating to Slichos, and so we're going to wait till next week. Obviously, it'll be over by the time we get there. So let's see if we can try to get a little bit of jump start into the sayings in Shulchan Aruch and hear about the halachos we're talking about Slichos, then we'll move back to Rosh Hashanah proper. So there is a minhag Yisrael to recite Slichos in the days leading up to Rosh Hashanah, even though if you look in the Rambam doesn't quote this minhag. The Rambam quotes the minhag of saying Slichos during Aseres Mitzvah, and the Rambam puts a little bit of a different spin on it. The Rambam writes that you say Slichos during Aseres Mitzvah, the same as the Amarbe B'mitzvah during Aseres Mitzvah. Since we have to assume that we're all Beinonim, and we're supposed to assume our friends are not Beinonim, they're Tzadikim, but we're Beinonim, and therefore we're 50-50, so we try to chop as many mitzvahs as we can. So the Rambam writes, the same way we give a lot of tzedakah during Aseres Mitzvah, we try to learn more, try to do more ma'asim tovim, more mitzvahs, so we try to daven more also. So how are you daven more? We can say, more pesukim, what are you going to say? So you marvin b'tachanunim before the Zman Tefillah begins, so you have a lot more introduction to extra rebirth tefillah. That's how the Rambam puts a spit on slichos. According to the Rambam, that minig makes a lot of sense during Aseres Mitzvah. It doesn't make so much sense before Shoshana. So the Rambam doesn't seem to, the best man else doesn't quote the minig of saying before Shoshana, but other Rishonim do have that minig, and that's the minig that's recorded in Lalach and Shulchan Aruch, that we do say slichos before Rosh Hashanah. That's a different reason, to prepare for Rosh Hashanah, get us into the spirit of things for Rosh Hashanah. So yeah, do there are different minhagim as to when exactly to begin the slichos, the nusa, the minig Sfarad must begin all the way back from Rosh Chodesh, and the minig Ashkenaz must begin it from the Motzei Shabbos before, providing you can have around at least 4 days of slichos, again for a variety of different reasons when, what that's all about. So the bottom line is there is a pretty much universal minig these days to recite slichos. The poskim point out that slichos is supposed to be recited by Shmaras HaBoker, because the Gemara tells us that the night is divided into different parts. Sefer Chalokim and Sefer Kabbalah elaborate upon how the first half of the night is the Midas Din and the second half of the night is Midas Rachamim, and therefore it's not appropriate to say slichos during the time when it's when Midas Din is shoylate. So that's what the poskim write in the beginning of Hilchos Rosh Hashanah when the sugyas of slichos appear, that the right time to recite the slichos is Bashmaras HaBoker. What's called Bashmaras HaBoker? So we assume halacha Shmaras HaBoker is any time in the second half of the night. So it begins from Chatzos. In the early days, nobody was up to Chatzos. When lights, people went to sleep when the sun set. When it got dark outside, people went to sleep. So nobody was up till 1 o'clock in the morning. So in our communities, in our yeshivas, so everyone's up at 1 o'clock. No one's up at 9 o'clock in the morning. Everyone's up at 1 o'clock in the morning. So it's become popular to say slichos in the middle of the night, literally. So in Europe, that wasn't the minhag. Europe, they used to say slichos in the Meshmaras HaBoker, early. So a lot of shuls also do that. A lot of alabatim are not up at all hours of the night. So they say slichos Meshmaras HaBoker. When is the self time to say slichos? So this was a machlekes aposkim. Some said that you have to finish the slichos before Alos HaShachar, and others are making until Netzach Hama. So those who want to be making suffix slichos to Kula, those who want to be making to go till Netzach Hama. So that's according to many poskim, that's also considered to be the lechatchilas of lechatchilas man. But it's not really right to say slichos before Chatzos. To say slichos the first half of the night, so the poskim right, and that's somehow not really the correct time to be saying slichos. Moshe Feinstein writes in the tshuva that there are some shuls that Nebuch there, all the crowd, and the people are not going to come at 1 o'clock in the morning to slichos. So what are you going to do? So it's better than nothing. So Moshe says, you say slichos 10 o'clock, whatever, 9 o'clock, whatever time you say slichos. You say, it would be better if you have an option of saying slichos at 10 o'clock at night, or 7 o'clock before Shachar. It's better to say before Shachar, even after Netzach Amo. So it's not the end of the world. So it's really not the correct thing to do to say slichos so early. I know there are some shuls that do it. They follow other rabbanim, whoever they're asking. But Moshe writes that this is should really only be reserved for a situation where there is no other option available. One is supposed to say slichos mitzibur because there are parts of the slichos that are only supposed to be said mitzibur. So, for example, the yigim amidas, so you're not really supposed to say the yigim amidas biyachidus. The poskim write that if you find yourself without a minion, so you could say it, you should say it with the niggun, say it with the trump. So instead of saying it out, you say it was laning, so that's okay. The minig is that we leave out the Aramaic parts. The Gemara talks in Maseches Brachos about how the Balak Hashar is, when they speak Aramaic, don't speak Aramaic, which languages they do or don't speak. So whatever the bottom line is that the minig is that we leave out the Aramaic parts of slichos, if you're saying slichos, but if you're stuck and you have no minions, so you say the rest of the slichos. there is a practice that when they say slichos, that the chazan is besatif betalis. Because the Gemara has a lashon that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu Shom Reish Rabbeinu, the Yigim Amidos, so the Gemara says, Amalekosav Yachshel Amro. We could have said such a thing on our own, but that's, we have a tradition that a Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachel appeared to Reish Rabbeinu looking like a chazan. And he had he was misatef, he was in a state of itof when he appeared to Reish Rabbeinu. So what does that mean? It's atef, so that's a machlekes aposkim. In Uchas Tzitzis, one of the wordless atef has the connotation of being covering over your head. That's what there's one opinion Rishonim that says that you're not chayv in tzitzis unless you wear the beged over your head. So according to one opinion Rishonim, when the dollar kafas the taskas we wear are a waste of time because it has to be derech atifa. And how do you know it has to be derech atifa? Because that's the nusach chazal masach and the sati b'tzitzis. So some Rishonim say, oh, in the fact that chazal masach and the losh of sati b'tzitzis, you see from here, there's got to be a derech atifa. Atifa means katifa sishmei. There's got to be mamsh covering over your head. And Rubu the poskim, Rubu the Rishonim disagree. And Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like the majority view. That it doesn't say that we're in the chumash, but tzitzis requires a tifa. Just says a shetachasava, big day, you have to wear the beged. So I'm wearing a shirt, I'm wearing a tallis, I'm wearing a jacket. That's called levisha. You don't need a tifa. I chazal mesach and lashon a tifa. It doesn't mean tifa rosh ramish. It means just to cover yourself over. That's good enough. So you see that there are different nuances as to what the lashon a tifa means. So the Gemara has the lashon and the lamish and the satif kadosh baruch hu kishalech tzibur. So you see from here that shalech tzibur is supposed to be mesatif. So what does that mean? So some communities that have the minig, they take it like it means atipas arosh, and those communities that insist that a chazan has to wear a talis over his head or he's got to wear a hat or something, that's following that interpretation of atipa. Those who are not as makbid on that, so they're assuming like the other interpretation that atipa doesn't mean literally atipas arosh. But whatever it is, the talis, the chazan does put on a talis for slichas. So that raises a little bit of an issue in terms of uchus bracha. So uchus bracha mitzvah of tzitzis is that whether the chazan should recite a bracha on putting on the talis. The problem is that he's putting on the talis before the zman of tzitzis. As machlokes the Rambam in the Rosh about if you wear a beged yom balayla, whether it's chayv in tzitzis. So the Rosh's opinion is that when the Gemara says that laila lazman tzitzis, it doesn't mean laila lazman tzitzis. It means a beged laila lazman tzitzis. According to the Rosh, you don't put tzitzis on a four-cornered pair of pajamas, even if you're wearing that bayom, the Rosh says. But if you're wearing a beged yom balayla, then it's chayv in tzitzis. But the Rambam disagrees. Ram says that when Chazal say Laila Lazman Tzitzis, derived from a Risa Masa Prat Laila, that means that when it's dark, you don't wear Tzitzis. And when it's light, you do it Tzitzis. If it's dark, you don't light, you do. It doesn't matter what the beged is. So now we have a Shaila, whether we follow the Ram with the Rosh. And Shulchan Aruch, we pass it to Sveik and the Dina. And therefore, you should not recite a brach on Tzitzis unless it's both by Yom and it's a beged Yom. So we put it at Tzitzis in the morning, put it at Talis in the morning. So those begadim are big day Yom and is by Yom. So you make a brach. But if you would put on a beged Yom by Laila, so according to the Rosh, you can make a brach according to the Ram, you can. So that's where the poskim write that it's not so good, it's a good idea. When the chazan, let's say, this was a Shabbos, the chazan is going to put on a talis, so does it make a brach or not? According to the after Sham, the after Sham, no. So what do you do? So the best thing to do is to try to avoid the bracha altogether. How do you avoid the bracha altogether? If you borrow somebody else's talis. The din is that a talis she'ula is part of a tzitzis. If the beggar doesn't belong to you, then you're not chayv in tzitzis. If I give you, let's say, I forgot to bring my talis to shul this morning, so if somebody gives me their talis as a gift, quote unquote, to borrow, so that's okay. That's like a matanah aslahachzir. But if they're just giving me to borrow to be a chazan, I don't want to be koinid. He doesn't want to be machna. I don't want to be koinid, so it's not going to be mine. So it's not chayv in tzitzis. I'm going to turn out my derabon. If the 30 days, if I'm still saying slichas for wearing the same talis for 30 days, you go to another shul. But I'm still saying slichas by simchas Torah, so then you become chayv in derabon. On the talis shu'ul after 30 days because it's nirukish shalom, looks like it's yours. But both minhag Torah and the rabbanan, you don't have to put tzitzis on if it's a bar talis. So the poskim write, the more correct thing to do is that you should bar a talis. The chazan should wear his own talis, he should bar somebody else's talis. I'm not such a good chazan, I don't have a good voice, and they never mechavim me to say lead the slichas. But I have the shiloh always on Purim night because I'm the Valkyrie in a shul. So I always get laid in the Megillah. So there are different minhagim. Some shuls, the Valkyrie wears a talis for laying the Megillah, others doesn't. So, at night, the daytime, the person's wearing talis anyway, but at night, different hugging. So, the Minigash shows that the Valkyrie puts on a talis for Kriyas and Megillah. So, I always have that problem. I said, I don't want to take my own talis. I take my own talis, and it's a Shaila. So, the post was a Shitaka borrow somebody else's talis. So, I usually borrow a talis from somebody. So, one year, the person who I borrowed the talis from was someone who wears Tchelis. So, I was laying the Megillah with a talis of Tchelis. I think someone took a picture. Rabbi Wesley. I'm Purim. Rabbi Wesley. I'm Purim. Rabbi Wesley.
What about using the shul's
talis? Oh, so that's the shaila. So the shul's talis is a little bit tricky. So when we pass it to chassidus, that the shul talis really belongs to you, if you're unless you're delinquent on your membership fees. So if you don't pay your membership, then you may lose your rights to the talis. So we assume that a talis and shul belongs. It's like mamon hashutfin, that it belongs to all the members of the shul. That's what some poskim say. Others say that it's not really mamon hashutfin. It's that when every person picks it up, so then it becomes yours. So let's say I want to borrow shul's talis, have a mind not to be zoicha. So some poskim say, doesn't help. It's yours. It's not a zoicha. It's yours already. And others say maybe that works. I'd say the next best thing. If you can't borrow a friend's talis, so at least the shul's talis, maybe. All else fails, so use your own talis and you don't make a bracha. Okay, anyway, those are just, again, some of the shirayim of Hilchos HaSlichos. Let's get back now to the mainstay of our limud in terms of Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. So the last couple of weeks, we focused mostly on the mitzvah Sayyim of Rosh Hashanah in terms of Tekiah Shofar for the most important mitzvah, then the rest station machs and shofars. Now we move to a mitzvah that may or may not apply to Rosh Hashanah, at least in full force. That's not really Rosh Hashanah dig a din. It's a din that applies to the other yom tov. That's the mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov. So we know there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Simchas Yom Tov. Samachta that's not enough by Simchas. Samachta bechagecha. That pasuk is written by Sukkis. But it's written by Sukkot and by Shavuos. It doesn't even appear by Pesach, but the Teshuva Peh explains that the Gimel Regal and Behuk Shul Hanadi, they compare to one another, Shalosh Pavim Roshona. So there's a mitzvah of Simcha Min HaTorah on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, and it is unclear whether there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah or not. On the one hand, it's not in the Pasuk. The Pasuk doesn't say Pesachta B'Yom HaZikaron. On the other hand, one could argue that Rosh Hashanah is a chag. So, Makesli Yom Chageinu refers to Rosh Hashanah, Tashem Rapeh says. So, maybe Rosh Hashanah is also, it's a moed, it's a chag. It's not a Gimel Regolim, but it's a moed and a chag. So, then maybe it's included in the parasha of a Samach B'Chagecha. So, it's a little bit unclear. What should the din be? Forget about what the Rishonim said for example. What do we think the din should be? So, L'chora, this should depend on a more general question relates to Simchas Yontif. Hopefully, during the course of the year, we'll talk a little bit more about Yoni Yontif proper, but there is a major machlekes rishonim. What exactly is the definition of Simchas Yom Tov? Always forget about Rosh Hashanah. What about on Shalosh Regalim? What exactly is the Torah definition of Simcha? So it actually has a source in this week's parasha. It says the Bashki Savo when they came to Hagrizim and Ha'evil, so they had a v'zavach d'shalom v'chal d'shalom v'samach d'shem l'kecha. The Torah describes the Simcha that was celebrated through the vehicle of zvicha shalom v'achilas p'sar shalomim, v'zavach d'shalom v'chal d'shalom v'samachta. So the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, "Bisman shebisibik d'shei kayam." The only way to really fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov properly is to offer Shabbos Simcha and to partake of that meat. In addition to all the other karbanos you have to bring, when you come Alila Regla, you got to bring Alis Riyah, and you have to bring Shabbos Chagiga. You have a whole array of karbanos. Then there's another set of karbanos that are brought to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa Simchas Yom Tov. The Gemara says that was true Bisman shebisibik d'shei kayam. What about Bisman Hazeh? So the Gemara says Bisman shebisibik d'shei kayam ain Simcha ela biayin. Says, so when the Rambam quotes that din in Chaz Yontif, the Rambam adds on a word, ein simcha ela b'basa v'yayin. And the Gemara doesn't say that word, basa v'yayin. It says, basa vis-a-vis the zman ha-mikdash, vis-a-vis v'sar shlomim. The Gemara just says, ein simcha ela b'yayin. The Rambam added on, ein simcha ela b'basa v'yayin. So the Beis Yosef questions that Rambam, where the Rambam got the word basa for. How did the Rambam know that there's a mitzvah chilz basa v'yayin Yontif? So the Beis Yosef thought that was such a good kasha that when he wrote in Shulchan Aruch was a brief synopsis of what it said in Beis Yosef. The Shulchan Aruch was an afterthought. The Rav Yosef Cairo planned on writing the Beis Yosef. He wanted to write a running parish on the tour with all the background and all the Gemaras and all the Maskanas and how the tour figured out what the halacha is and what the final word should be. That was the goal of Rav Yosef Cairo. He wrote this tremendous, tremendous sefer called the Beis Yosef. He realized that it's going to be hard for people to read it. It's so long. So he decided to cut out all the details, all the love. Let's just get to the bottom, like what the rift did to the Gemara. So the Rav Yosef Cairo did to his own sefer. So he cut out all the shakmatari and he just got to the punchline. This is the din. Kacha. Every once in a while, he wasn't sure what the din is, so he writes Yeshua and this, Yeshua and that, etc. And that became the Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch was the Tamtas Advarim, was the Kitz and Imrutz of what he, all the Shtikl Torahs in the Beis Yosef. So he wrote the Beis Yosef and he was in Turkey. He wrote the Shulchan Aruch when he was in Eretz Yisrael. So if you've ever been in Tzfat, but the Beis Yosef, when he was in Kairos Cave, a little cave outside his Beis Medrash, that's where they say he wrote the Shulchan Aruch. That's if you go to Turkey, next time we switch planes, go to Turkey, so you can find where he wrote the Beis Yosef. But if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you can find where he wrote the Shulchan Aruch. So he wrote, his plan was that the Shulchan Aruch should be such a quick read that everybody could read it once a month. He thought everyone could chaz all the Shulchan Aruch every month. So the truth is that if you cut out the Ramos and the Shachs, they cut out everything. Basically, Shulchan Aruch is not that long. I don't know if you read it once a month, but it's not as long as it's not 10 volumes on the shelf. But whatever it is. So the bottom line is, in Shulchan Aruch and Chuz Yantif, he followed what he himself said in Beis Yosef against what the Rambam says. And he writes that the mitzvah of Chuz Yantif is Yahin. He doesn't mention Basel. So later, Paiskin, the Makan Avram, and then Mishavur, later Acharonim, brought the Rambam back to life and said, no, you should really have Basel of Yahin. But in Shulchan Aruch itself, it doesn't say. Shulchan Aruch, it says, like it says in the Gemara, Ein Simcha Bizmanazet, Ella B'Yahin. The reason Machlokes HaPoskim is that objective or subjective. Let's say, I don't like Yahin. I want a cup of Coke instead. I want to get a cookies and cream, preferably not a Pesach. And I want a cookies and cream shake or something. I like that better than a cup of wine. So would I say that's simplest Yom Tov also? Well, was it not Tafka wine thing? I was just talking about most normal people like to drink a little bit of wine. What do I say? No, but that's the din. It's got to be Tafka V'yayin. That's a little bit unclear. Sturmbruch writes in a Sefer Modern Mizmanim, he thinks the reason why people, not everyone runs every day Chalamoy to go drink wine, even though the Pashas and the Ram miss the simplest Yom Tov every single day. So he thinks the reason why people are not always necessarily running every day Chalamoy to drink wine is because they're relying on that other understanding that they're going to Lazy Bean to get a milkshake one day, and they're going for pizza one day, and they're getting, you know, treating themselves to something else one day. So they always, all the extra food that they're eating, that's b'makom the wine of Chazal. And others say, no, she follow what says in the Gemara, says in Shulchan Aruch, Ein Simcha B'Yayin. But in Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say Basar, it just says Yayin. The Magen Avraham, and others say Basar as well. Remember years ago, somebody showed me there was like a Kol Kerei in one of the from newspapers saying it's a terrible, terrible thing. It's a big bizoyin of Chol HaMoed that people don't have flesh exudus on Chol HaMoed anymore. People just go for pizza. So it's Chol HaMoed Pesach, it's not a big problem. It's a problem. But they were making a Kol Kerei that people are going on Chol HaMoed Sukkot. It's a bizoyin. It's a zilzul yom that they should have a flesh exudus. Chol HaMoed is not a time to go for pizza. So this Kol Kerei that was written in this newspaper had written on the bottom that the ayin b'shulchan aruch b'chaz yontif k'deisa mafurish b'shulchan aruch b'chaz yontif they ain't simcha ala b'basa v'yayin. So I remember laughing at it. Whoever put out that kokari obviously never bothered to open up the shulchan aruch, because the shulchan aruch actually did not say the word basa, as he explains in the Beis Yosef that he dafka deleted the word basa. So if it would have said k'deisa b'rambam k'deisa b'chaz avram isa b'shulchan aruch, good, but it said k'deisa b'shulchan aruch b'chaz yontif. So the guy did not do his homework. Anyway, so back to the story. So this halacha that Bisman HaZeh, Simchas Yontif has shifted. It used to be Besar Kabanos, so now it's Boso Yayin, trips to Six Flags, whatever other things, milkshakes, whatever things make you happy. So that's what's called halacha Shar Smachas. So what's the takeif? What's the strength of that halacha? Where did that come from, the idea of having Shar Smachas? The Torah speaks about Besar Shlom, Pashas Kisoba, Samachta Shom Echalta, Samachta Shom Kecha. So where did this notion of Shas Machas come from? So this was a big machlekes Taiz in the Rama. So Taiz in Maseches Ma'akotan and Afid Alam Abeis writes that he thinks that this additional component of Shas Machas is all in the Rabbanon. The Min HaTorah, Simcha is not a sense of Pashin Kisavah, Mechal, Tashlom, Zavach, whenever there's a mitzvah Simcha, it translates Midaraisa to being Besar Achilles Shlomim. Achilles Besar Shlomim. But the fact that we observe Simcha Bizman HaZeh B'Shas Machas is all Midir Rabbanon. And the Rambam disagrees. Rambam Chuz Yontif writes clearly that even though the Ika Simcha Mur B'Torah is Achilles B'Shas Shlomim, Yesh B'Chalal Lo She Simcha Shas Machas Yayin Anoshim B'Roilem Anoshim B'Roilem Tanim B'Roilem, whatever the different things that make different people happy. So the Zemachlek stays in the Rambam. The Simcha Yontif Min HaTorah defined by Karbonos, or can you have a concept of Simcha Yontif Min HaTorah out of the realm of Karbonos? So the Chara, this should be the Nafkamina, the Gavi Rosh Hashanah. If you take the Taisa's very, very limited view that Simchas Yontif is defined mamish by Karbonos, that's it, that's all there is right no more. That is the Torah, the Kedavah, everything else that's made up in the Rabbanan, but in the Torah, there's no such thing as Simcha out of the realm of Karbonos, so Rosh Hashanah clearly is going to fall short. Nobody goes to eat Pesach Shlom in Rosh Hashanah. There's no mitzvah in Yerushalayim in Rosh Hashanah. There's no Lila Rega. Who's got it? A guy lives in Tiberia. Mechatais is coming to Yerushalayim. Guy's in Be'er Sheva. What's he doing in Yerushalayim? He's coming 2 weeks later on Sukkot. So since no one's coming to Yerushalayim anyway, So how in the world could it be a mitzvah simple as Yom Rosh Hashanah? It's not shaykh as a mitzvah simple in Rosh Hashanah. And the Rishonim who accept the view of the Rambam that Simchas Yontov Minat Torah can apply even Chutz LaMikdash. The same way that in Bergenfield, in Doshin Pei Beis, there's a Simchas Yontov on Sukkos. So in Rosh Hashanah, the Zman HaMikdash is also Simchas Yontov Deraisa, fulfilled through Shas Machos. Whether Shas Machos, Bosi Yayim, whatever they are, the other Yom Tovim, Zman is there, that's the Simchas Yontov Minat Torah. So the Chari, that question, whether the Simchas Yontov Minat Torah on Rosh Hashanah, ultimately boils down to this issue, whether Simchas Yontov makes sense out of the context of Beis HaMikdash. How do we pass in halacha and the shayla? Yes, and Simcha. So the Rosh, in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, quotes two different nuschos of Tefillah Rosh Hashanah. When the Chazan says, "Atid in lano Hashem l'kei wisa, atid lano Hashem l'kei yava," what's the next phrase? So when the Shal Shul Gaon, the next phrase is, "Mo'adim l'simcha chag b'zman masasa n'ziyom chag hamatzah shavu sukkos shmeteres," whatever the yontif is. So some of the Rishonim, some of the Gaonim had the nusach on Rosh Hashanah also. "Atid lano Hashem l'kei yava, mo'adim l'simcha chagim b'zman masasa n'ziyom zikaron hazeh yom tru," etc. And other guy said, no, you delete that whole phrase. You just go straight, Vatitla Hashem can be Ava as Yom Zikarna. So you leave out Mu'adim L'Simcha and Bizman Masasa. So those are two different nischos, a tefillah that existed in the days of the Gaonim. Bizman Hazeh, we leave it out. None of the Machzorim today have that phrase. We paskin that. You don't say that phrase. Why not? What's the Nekudas HaMachlekes? So it's very convenient and cute to say the Nekudas HaMachlekes is, oh, if you put in that phrase, Mu'adim L'Simcha, that means you hold Rosh Hashanah as a mitzvah simcha. If you leave out that phrase, then you hold it's not as much simcha. Sure, that's the machlokes. So Rav Zsolti has a sefer for Mishnas Yavet. He has a lot of his old shtickle teres and bapulim on the Yom Tovim. So he suggests that maybe that's not really the machlokes. That le'olam in terms of pure halacha, everybody agrees that simcha yom Rosh Hashanah. One of the biggest rayas is Maharil that says, how could there not be simcha yom Rosh Hashanah? It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, Rosh Hashanah is mafsik avelus. The din is of a guy is Rachman Litzlan and Shiva. 3 days before Rosh Hashanah, comes to Rosh Hashanah and knocks out the Avelus. The guy buries his base Erev Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah cancels the whole Shiva. So the Gemara says in Makot Daf Yudalet that why is Yontif cancel Shiva? Because Yontif is a mitzvah shal simcha shal rabim, and Avelus is a Avelus shal yochid. So you have an esish rabim, yidcha esish shal yochid. So the Gemara says black and white that what the koyach of Yontif to cancel Avelus is the simcha Yontif Shabbat. So how can there be anybody who says no simcha Yontif? Of course the simcha Yontif in Rosh Hashanah. What's the shayla? Vada na vada the simcha Yontif says Rosh Hashanah. So why don't we say while the simcha chayim is manu sasson? So he claims that's based on a totally different story. That's nothing to do with the lack of simcha Yontif. The deletion of that phrase, the Amnidic, is the Minig Yisrael today is not the same while the simcha Rosh Hashanah and Kiddush and Davening is for a totally, totally different reason. The Gemara says in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah that the emesis we should have said halal on Rosh Hashanah. The Ikra Din, we should really be saying halal on Rosh Hashanah. Why don't we say halal on Rosh Hashanah? Because if it's chayv, if it's basic, it's not right. Let's say halal on Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur, for that matter, it's not right. We're going to say halal, and judgment's being decided. Who are we kidding? How can you say halal with the leib shalom with the simple shalema? How can you say as a halal if sifre chayv sifre meisim sifre mufanav? So Zsolti says you see from that Gemara that it would have been appropriate to say halal, but you just push a can't. The Meira Din of Rosh Hashanah inhibits prevents us from saying halal properly. So Zsolti says maybe that's why we leave that Mu'adim simple. It's Tagad Van Simcha, but we don't shout it from the rooftops. You don't get the Chazan to get up and say, Mo'adim L'Simcha, Chagim L'Simcha. Come on. If you really believe, you just said a Stana Tekif 10 minutes before. You really believe in Yichem Yamos, and then you're jumping and singing and dancing around and having a party, Mo'adim L'Simcha. It's a layoff. That's a steeper to the Yom Adin. So is it Tachlis is Van Simcha here? In our heart of hearts, do we have Simcha? Do we have a bus? We have to do whatever we have to do in Yom to fulfill the Din of Simcha. But we don't talk about it. We don't play it up. We leave it on under the radar, the fact that it's a Zman Simcha. So if you don't want to interpret the Machlekes and the Nizchat Tfil as being some fundamental Lomdash of Machlekes on a level of Deraisa, whether there is or is not Simcha in Rosh Hashanah, so you want to tone it down a little bit, you can go down the route of Rav Zsolti. There is a famous Shagas Aryeh where the Shagas Aryeh says, "We'll bring you a Raya Hura," that there must be Simcha Yontif in Rosh Hashanah, because the Shagas Aryeh says, you're allowed to cook in Rosh Hashanah. There's a Hetav HaNefesh on Rosh Hashanah. So he claims, based on his reading of Gemara Pesachim, that not everyone read that way, that ultimately the reason why the Torah is matir, Echol Nefesh, is to enable you to have Simchas Yontif. The Ramban doesn't sound that way in Chumash, but the Shagas Aryeh claims that's what the Gemara Maseches Pesachim indicates, that there's a correlation between, there's a connection between the Hefter of Echol Nefesh and the existence of the Mitzvah Sifus Yotiv. And Lu Yitzuya, the Mitzvah Sifus Yotiv would be absent and there would be no Hefter of Echol Nefesh. That's, again, it's a very, very loaded statement. According to Tosis, that's clearly not the case. Tosis says there's no Simcha Min HaTorah as much as that. We still cook on Yotiv. So obviously, according to Tosis, there's no connection whatsoever. But the Shagazai claimed that such a connection exists. So therefore, he says, everyone knows you're not cooking Rosh Hashanah. My wife cooks in Rosh Hashanah. Everyone cooks in Rosh Hashanah. So says the Shagazai, it must be a right. There must be some degree of Simchas Yomtiv. So again, it's not 100% clear that the Simchas Yomtiv in Rosh Hashanah, but there are a few things that are pointing in this direction. Maril Shtaka Raifim Avelos, Shagazai, it's potential Raifim Echol Nefesh. The fact that we don't say that the davening, that in and of itself is not a dead giveaway one way or the other. But even Zolzai, that there is Simchas Yomtiv in Rosh Hashanah, for sure there was no Aliyah L'Regel. That's Felicia Mitzofik. There was never ever a Lila Regal on Rosh Hashanah, Bishum Panav Oifen. That's why the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim that when you dive in Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur for that matter, you have to be careful with the following. That there's a phrase, what's the next phrase? Lalos, Vileiros, Lishtach, Vostafanecha, Velasas, Chavasenim, Vesbichirasecha. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from Rishonim not to say that the beginning of that phrase on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because it's Pashim Nice. Not Emes. It's not Emes. It's Emes that we can't go, but it's nothing to do with today. We wouldn't be going, even if not Mikdash, we wouldn't go on Lila Regal. So what you should do is skip that whole phrase, says the Shulchan Aruch, and jump to that describes the Korban Musaf. There wasn't Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but to make a mention, to acknowledge the existence and the absence thereof of a Lila Regal is a little bit inappropriate for Rosh Hashanah. So Shulchan Aruch says explicitly not to mention that. So we have as an ongoing joke in our shul that nobody knows the answer to this, that the very first Rosh Hashanah in our shul, so the chazan gets up and daven for the yamid musaf, and he says, so I heard those words, so I put my hand up to him, so I banged a little bit, not to say it. So he points to the machzer. So I peeked over there. Okay, what it says the machzor? I didn't say that. I said, you don't say it. I said, it's a machlok. It's the article machzor of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch wins. So we don't say it. So I don't care what it said in the machzor. Then it was a mistake in the machzor. That in the next edition, of Rosh Hashanah machzor came out with the emendation. That they goofed. They forgot to cut out that line out of the Musaf. So the strange thing was is that in 16 years, we have not seen that machzor again. That was the shul's. Someone had bought us a very big, the big fat chazan machzorim, one for Rosh Hashanah, one for Yom Kippur. The Yom Kippur one we still have, the Rosh Hashanah one has never resurfaced. So we do not know who decided to sabotage that machzor. We have a couple of unsolved mysteries in the annals of our shul. Man, in one year I made an Erev Tavshilin for the community. And I put the Erev on top of the refrigerator, the challah roll disappeared. No idea. So, but the Yavi, we relied on the fish anyway. But the Yavi don't need the challah roll. No one knows. I figured every place I'll find it. I searched all around. I find it. It's about 10 years already. Nobody knows what happened. We're still, somebody's hiding somewhere. We finished our construction. Maybe we move everything over to the other shul. So we'll find the challah roll from 8 years ago and a mistaken Rosh Hashanah Machzor. So we'll keep you posted if we find that out. Okay. Anyway, back to our story. So. So we spoke a little bit about the davening on Rosh Hashanah, some of the things that we added to the davening on Rosh Hashanah. There are a couple of other odds and ends of the davening on Rosh Hashanah. They relate a little bit more to Aseret Metshuva, but Rosh Hashanah is the first 2 days of Aseret Metshuva. So one is the recitation of HaMelech HaKadosh. So you have to say HaMelech HaKadosh in the entire Aseret Metshuva. It's like the end of the first Mechel Brachos. So there was a big Machlekes HaPoiskim. What if a person forgot to say HaMelech HaKadosh on the first night of Rosh Hashanah? If you forget it any other day, you have to repeat the davening. If you forgot Dafka on the first night, you have to repeat the davening or not. So the Chayodim quotes, one of the Acharonim said, that no, you don't have to repeat the davening. Why? Because the Gemara says in Brachos, the end of the fourth parak, if you forget Yalav Yavon, Rosh Chodesh, so you don't have to go back at night because Eim Kachas Chodesh Balayla. And the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't judge the world of Rosh Hashanah Ad Shekachu Beizin Shemata Kichol Yisraelu and then Mishpat Luka Yaakov. Starts out with Klal Yisrael. So one of the Acharonim, the Chayyim quotes made the following cheshbon that if there's no din in Shemayim until this Kodesh Chodesh and there's no Kodesh Chodesh until the daytime and we say Hamelach Hakodesh because of the din in Shemayim. put all those pieces together. If you forgot a Melech HaGadosh in the first line, so you don't have to repeat the Shema Esrei. So the Rav thought that that was not correct. The Rav thought that if you forgot Yalav Yov is not an integral part of Shema Esrei. Yalav Yov is what we call a Hosofa. It's an insertion into the Shema Esrei. So you can pilpul. Is it Makim? Not Makim. Yeah, no, maybe so. But a Melech HaGadosh is the text of the Bracha. So Anshei Knesset Gedolah, when they were Mesaked, the Nuzcha Shema Esrei, they were Mesaked, during the Aseres Metshuvah, you say HaMelech HaGadosh. The first night of Hashana is Aseres Metshuvah. It's no less Aseres Metshuvah than the fourth day of Aseres Metshuvah. So it's Aseres Metshuvah L'chol Dovar. Whether there's a din in Shemayim or not is interesting, but irrelevant to our discussion. And therefore, the missing of a Melech HaKadosh is Ma'akif L'gamrei. Bottom line is not too relevant because most of us daven Machzorim, at least on the first night, you know, unless we're so proficient in Mechente Pachtacha from last year, we remember. So most people daven the Machzorim, at least on the first night. So the odds you're going to forget a Melech HaKadosh are unlikely. But if you do, then you just put yourself to Machlek between the Chayyadim and the Rav, where you have to be Tvanasri. So try not to do that. Okay, we'll stop here. I'll fill the Meshem next week. So we'll try to finish up some of the sugyas related to Rosh Hashanah, Lubas, Sez Mechuva. And I have a feeling that is left is the last one to left the Sukkot, because the following week is Tzom Gedalia, and the following week is Yom Kippur, and after that is Sukkot. So we will hopefully meet Shem continue Hukkos Yom Kippurim the day after, right after Sukkot. I warned at the beginning that there's no correlation between this matter, but the matter is not this coming.